This is the Humboldt Chronicles.
I am the queen of everything. I gotta be high before I can sway. Light a tea and let it be. If you a viper.
I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. The Humboldt Chronicles is made possible by the Humboldt County Collective, Eco Groovy Deals, and by, and big thanks to, our newest sponsor, Bear Extraction House. Thank you very much. We could not do it without you. In 2016, the voters of California passed the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, more commonly known as Prop 64. The ballot initiative, which passed with 57% voter support, opened the door to the legal sale and recreational use of marijuana. Effective January 1, 2018, possession of up to an ounce of cannabis by adults 21 and over is no longer a crime in California, at least as far as the state is concerned. Passage of Prop 64 was a victory not just for producers and consumers of cannabis, but also for those more generally opposed to the government's so-called war on drugs. All of a sudden, Californians could possess and consume cannabis without fear of losing their freedoms, something many people consider to be a big step in the right direction. But what about those individuals who were convicted of cannabis crimes before Prop 64 became the law of California? Intuitively, it seems to make sense that if something is not a crime, people should not be punished for it. But in a very real sense, people continue to suffer the consequences of past convictions even after their sentences have been carried out. In this episode of the Humboldt Chronicles, we're going to take a look at just what happens to people who have criminal records for something that is no longer a crime. We'll examine how other states are dealing with this issue, and we'll zero in on California's innovative solution that stands as an example of how technology can help resolve vexing legal and administrative problems. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll return with our discussion in a few moments. This is the Humboldt Chronicles. Welcome back to the Humboldt Chronicles. So, you've got an old conviction on your record. What's the big deal? Who cares if you got caught with a bag of weed way back in 1987? You went through some hassles, yes. Maybe you got some jail time. Maybe probation. Probably you had to pay a fine. But that's all ancient history by now, right? Not exactly. For some insight into this question, we talked to Chris Lindsay, who is the Director of Government Relations at the Marijuana Policy Project. We asked Chris about the collateral consequences of a past conviction.
Well, it can definitely affect employment prospects. And I think if somebody had a felony, that would be a real serious problem. But even the folks that have misdemeanors can be completely excluded from a lot of jobs, or employers just will simply not consider them. Housing can also be impacted. It's not unusual to see, especially for public housing, background checks where people who have convictions on their record could get denied, and educational opportunities. You know, that sometimes can impact loans. Schools themselves will often ask applicants whether or not they have any criminal histories, including with cannabis. And so, you know, in these things, you may have gone to jail for, you know, a year and a half or been under supervision or paid a fine or a lawyer, but now that's behind you. The problem with these criminal histories is that they're with you for life. And so even if the conviction was way back in the day and it's now long behind you, prospective employers and everybody else, they're still going to see it on your record, and you can still be paying consequences for something that today a lot of people don't consider it illegal conduct, and it's not fair.
It's not fair. But cannabis is now legal in California. Doesn't that automatically erase, or in legal parlance, expunge past convictions? Not so, says Chris Lindsay.
When a government comes along and changes its law, it doesn't look back in time to what happened before by default. There has to be that additional step of including an expungement process, or at least the right to expungement, within you know, these changes of the law that we see. It was a few years ago that the conventional wisdom amongst a lot of the kind of the activist organizations, the folks out there trying to change cannabis laws, that voters were, at least based on polling that we had seen up until then, the voters were generally not very supportive of this idea that once legalization comes along, that individuals with prior offenses would somehow have them removed. That generally voters didn't like that idea, but that changed significantly, I would say probably about 2 years ago. And what became clear was that, yeah, voters absolutely were starting to become supportive with the idea that, look, if we're not going to arrest people for this any longer, does it make sense to continue to hold them to prior offenses where today it really wouldn't be one? And that really set off a series of jurisdictions, especially along the West Coast, to try to address that. And, you know, we saw this happening to a certain extent in places like Washington and California, where local communities would make these changes. And at first, they were to say, well, we will allow you to petition the court to come in and get something expunged from your record, you know, and in particular, something that maybe today we don't treat as illegal, but back then we did. But, you know, despite the promise there, the take rates were very, very low, you know, 5% or fewer that could get their records expunged were actually going in and getting that done. And this was with a great deal of effort on the part of groups that were trying to facilitate this. What then started to happen was development of this idea that these could actually be expunged automatically. And so there would be a process then to identify, well, who out there has these convictions on their record and how do we get through that system in order to have it removed. And so that started to get some traction. And that's really where I think most of the attention is right now, because the take rate was so low with the voluntary petitioning process. In Illinois, we went right to the automatic process, and it really nobody ever looked back at that point.
That's Chris Lindsay from the Marijuana Policy Project. You heard him refer to Illinois, a state whose recreational cannabis law was just signed by its governor 3 weeks ago. The law will go into effect in Illinois on January 1st, 2020. We'll talk more about that Illinois law later in this program. But why don't states that legalize or at least decriminalize cannabis automatically clear the records of those with past convictions? Well, in a lot of cases, it's a matter of administrative logistics. Here's more from Chris Lindsay.
The challenge that happens once people are in agreement that we want to expunge, the challenge becomes how that actually happens in the criminal legal system for that state. And this is down to the criminal procedures. So how are citations entered into the system? What happens with that information once it's entered? How does the current legal system allow people to go back and revisit their records? Some states completely prohibit expungement. And so how do you now allow it? And others have a system, but it's not automatic. So how do you make it automatic? How do you have a system where every single person in the state, they're going to go find out who they were, what the offense was, what other things they might have been charged with at the same time that could exclude them from expungement? Just finding them is a challenge, and that's highly calibrated not only to the state, but very often to the local counties where their records may not be stored the same way as the county next door. And so there are some groups out there that do an outstanding job of helping identify, just go out and identify who those folks are. And so, you know, I'm hoping to see their help in Illinois, because Illinois has got the same challenge as California, where you've got lots and lots and lots of jurisdictions, and they all have their own rules about where records are kept, where information's published. I mean, in one county, you might be on the internet. In another, you may be in a file in the basement. And then you've got just the criminal procedure of how, once it's in the system, do you revisit it and have an adjudication without people showing up to court? That's a due process question. You know, we want to see a situation in which we hit the reset button on the war on cannabis. All these people have got dinged for offenses. Let's just agree that they should all go away. Well, that sounds great. People like that. But at the end of the day, you need an order from a court to go change a prior order from the court. So how do you do that? Every single state has its own system behind the scenes. And so expungement in one state doesn't always follow the same path that it does in another. And that's a very tricky question, because it's really different than should we or shouldn't we. It's the how do we do this in a way that actually meets the goal of let's reset the button on the war on cannabis.
What a headache. After years and years fighting the war on drugs, advocates are finally arriving at a time when, in a lot of places, there's general agreement that marijuana should not be criminalized, and also that people convicted of past offenses should no longer bear the stigma of those convictions. Time to pop the champagne cork, right? Well, not so fast, because even if you have agreement that we should clear old criminal records, now we have to figure out how to clear those records and how to do it in a process that's as near to automatic as possible. After a quick break, we're going to take a look at how California has used innovative technology to implement its expungement procedures and, in the process, has become an example of success for other states facing the same difficulty. Before we go to a break, a cannabis calendar, a listing of a few events you might be interested in. You're listening to the Humboldt Chronicles. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to this month's edition of the Cannabis Calendar, brought to you by the Humboldt Chronicles. The calendar features information on upcoming cannabis-related conferences and events that take place within a day's drive of Humboldt County. From July 22nd through July 24th, the National Cannabis Industry Association's Cannabis Business Summit and Expo will take place in San Jose at the McHenry Convention Center. This event brings together more than 10,000 participants, including more than 400 companies on the expo floor and 150-plus speakers, including a keynote address by Canopy Growth Corporation founder and chairman Bruce Linton. More information is available at CannabisBusinessSummit.com. On Thursday, August 8th, the Wine and Weed Symposium will be held at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Santa Rosa. The symposium is aimed at exploring the collaborative and educational opportunities that exist between the wine and cannabis industries. The event will open with a keynote address by Corey Beck, CEO and winemaking chief of the Family Coppola, who will share his company's story of venturing into the cannabis industry and what they've experienced as a result. The remainder of the event will be focused on bringing together wine and cannabis industry thought leaders and innovators to review emerging trends in consumer behavior and other mutual issues. See wine-weed.com for more information. Finally, in mid-August, the 9th annual CannaGrow Expo takes place over 2 days in Palm Springs. Calling itself the ultimate weekend dedicated to the art and science of growing cannabis, the conference will feature a selection of 35 cultivation-focused educational sessions led by world-class growers, networking opportunities with cultivators from around the globe, and a 125-plus booth expo hall with the latest tools and technologies for growing and extracting cannabis. The expo takes place August 17th and 18th at the Palm Springs Convention Center and Renaissance Palm Springs Hotel. Find out more at CannaGrowExpo.com. If you'd like to have your event listed on the cannabis calendar, email us the details at studio@humboldtchronicles.com.
Welcome back to the Humboldt Chronicles. In part one of our program, we looked at the status of prior cannabis-related criminal convictions in states where the laws surrounding cannabis have changed. In some states that have some form of cannabis decriminalization, nothing at all has been done. There, a prior conviction is a prior conviction, and it stays on your record. At least as things stand now, that's just how it is. Other states, however, recognize the impropriety of preserving a criminal record for something that is no longer a crime, and California is one of those states. Prop 64 directly addresses this in Section 3Z, which states that, quote, "It is the intent of the people in enacting this act to authorize courts to resentence persons who are currently serving a sentence for offenses for which the penalty is reduced by Prop 64, so long as the person does not pose a risk to public safety, and to redesignate or dismiss such offenses from criminal records of persons who have completed their sentences. So, Prop 64 contemplates and authorizes clearing past convictions, but it lays out no specific procedures for doing so. Initially, record clearing could only be accomplished through the traditional petition process, whereby a person with a conviction would file papers with the court, often by hiring an expensive lawyer, and then going through a judicial process, a cumbersome, confusing, and sometimes time-consuming ordeal. This is where Code for America comes in. Code for America is an innovative nonprofit organization that seeks to enlist technology in resolving public policy and governmental problems. To find out more about the organization and its role in helping to clear the records of those with past criminal convictions, we spoke with Aaliyah Turan-Burrell, a senior program manager at Code for America.
Code for America develops technology to help government run well. We operate in a couple different areas, making sure that people who are trying to get access to different safety net services can do so in a streamlined way. In the criminal justice arena, working to clear criminal convictions. All of our work is in partnership and in collaboration with government. We believe in government. We think it can work well for people and by people, and that it can use technology to do so.
We asked Aaliyah what motivated Code for America to take up the problem of clearing past criminal records.
Given that we believe in government, we also think it can work better than it does today. And one of the areas that we think it can do that is in the criminal justice system. There are millions of people in the country who have criminal convictions that pose incredible barriers to moving forward with their lives. In California alone, there are about 5,000 legal restrictions that are placed on people with criminal convictions, anywhere from getting a job to getting housing to getting loans. It's a really awful barrier. And so with this in mind, we started getting involved in the criminal justice sphere a couple of years ago, thinking, how do we help these people who have criminal convictions move forward with their lives? And the way that we started that work was with a technology called Clear My Record, which still exists today, that connects people who have criminal convictions with attorneys who can help them navigate a really complicated petition-based process. So the status quo was, and still is in a lot of places, that somebody with a conviction had to apply to get their conviction cleared if they were eligible for release. The petition process doesn't work. It's, as I said before, it's complicated, it's costly, it's time-consuming. And the vast majority of people with criminal convictions didn't actually go through this process, even though under law they were eligible to have their convictions cleared. So we developed this technology. It exists, again, it still exists today. It's an online application that somebody with conviction can go onto and get connected to attorneys in 14 counties across California. Fast forward a little bit, we flip the question to say, why do people actually have to petition at all? Again, we know that this process is not ideal. Isn't there a better way? And so that's where the idea of automatic record clearance came to Code for America and also came into, I think, the public sphere. We started our work specifically or got connected to marijuana because last year the district attorney in San Francisco, District Attorney Gascon, announced that he was going to proactively review and clear convictions under Prop 64 that were eligible under Prop 64. So his office was going to do that. And so Code for America saw an opportunity to partner with him to say, we can help develop technology that can ease this process for you. So we can automate that review process. Fast forward even more, we realized that this was a much bigger project and initiative than just with San Francisco. And so we announced a pilot with 5 counties in California to automatically clear Prop 64 convictions.
A bit of history. You heard Aaliyah talk about an initiative undertaken by San Francisco District Attorney George Gascon, who, in January of 2018, announced that his office would retroactively expunge and reclassify marijuana-related offenses dating back to 1975. In May of 2018, the District Attorney's Office partnered with Code for America to implement an expungement process requiring no action at all on the part of the individual with a criminal record. Qualifying individuals automatically had their records expunged. To date, more than 9,500 criminal records have been cleared by the office. So how does Code for America's technology work exactly? Here again is Aaliyah Turan-Burrell.
So the automatic record clearance technology is a pretty simple framework. It takes a set of conviction data, a bulk set of conviction data. It maps an eligibility criteria onto that data based on state law, and then produces an output with eligibility determinations. So the technology itself is automating and streamlining the review process of convictions. So determining eligibility automatically based on a set of criteria.
So through CFA's tech, the process of reviewing thousands of records to determine eligibility was automated, allowing the district attorney to save countless hours of labor. But we're still not at the finish line yet, because even though we could now automatically generate a list of all criminal records eligible for clearance under Prop 64, there still remained a requirement in many jurisdictions that a judicial process be undertaken before a record could be cleared. Enter Assembly Bill 1793, introduced by District 18 Assemblymember Rob Bonita and signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown in late September of 2018. AB 1793 requires the California Department of Justice to identify, by July 1st of this year, all records in the criminal history database that are eligible for expungement, and to automatically reduce or dismiss the conviction if there is no challenge by July 1st, 2020, a process that would be extremely difficult, if not entirely impossible, without Code for America's technology.
When we first started the work, we developed technology that can read rap sheet information. So it was, we had the base technology that could do that automatically. Part of the thing that we learned when we were doing that initially before the law was passed was that there were still pain points in the process. So district attorneys would have to pull rap sheets one by one. And then on the back end, the court would still have to process individual paperwork for each of those convictions. So we were automating that middle process of reviewing the rap sheets, but there was still work on either side, if that makes sense. So legislators heard from that process, totally heard that there were these pain points of having to pull individual rap sheets and having to file individual motions for each person. And so what 1793 did, based on the pain points that we had been seeing in our work, was that it mandated a bulk data set to be provided to district attorneys. So district attorneys wouldn't have to pull rap sheets one by one. They could just be provided with this data set that our technology could automatically read. You know, on the back end, the court wouldn't have to have individual petitions. They could also take in a bulk data set as well. So it was a really good example of starting a process, legislators hearing about how the process could work better, and then implementing a policy that allowed for that to work better.
So is it finally time to open the champagne? Pretty much, yeah. Here again, Code for America's Aaliyah Turan-Burrell.
With AB 1793, somebody with specific marijuana convictions in California won't have to do anything. And that's the goal, that somebody with a record won't have to go through the really burdensome petition-based process. So because of the law, by next year, county district attorneys will have had to review every single eligible Prop 64 conviction. And the person with that conviction will not have to do anything to get the relief that they're owed under law. So that is the goal of an automatic record clearance world, that somebody will not have to do anything.
Before we close this edition of the Humboldt Chronicles, let's double back to the state of Illinois. Just a few weeks ago, Illinois became the 11th state to legalize recreational use of marijuana. The Illinois law is highly innovative in several respects. For one thing, the law there recognizes that particular communities have been especially hard hit by the war on drugs, and it establishes economic benefits specifically targeted to those communities. For another thing, and of particular relevance to this program, the Illinois law contains specific provisions mandating an automatic process whereby those with criminal records for purchasing or possessing 30 grams of marijuana or less may have those records expunged. It's estimated that this will change the lives
of 800,000 Illinois residents. So, did the innovative partnership between the state of California and Code for America have any influence on the Illinois law? Here's Chris Lindsay of the Marijuana Policy Project.
States very much look to one another for insight. Every state likes to make its own decisions, obviously, but they do look at one another's policies. They look for best practices. We, in Illinois, we went through an exhaustive analysis of what are all of the different solutions people have come up with around the country, you know, talk to them and really understand, you know, where the moving pieces were, and then tried to apply them in Illinois. And that gave us, we had a huge advantage in the discussion because we had all of these other jurisdictions to learn from. And I do think that, you know, the fact that a state has gone through the process, they've figured it out, and they've had good results, and people are happy and voting for all those lawmakers that agreed to do it in the first place, it's going to make an impression. And so groups like Code for America, I'm a huge fan, because, you know, in a lot of ways, they're sort of where the rubber meets the road. They're the ones that help really figure out who are all these people that we were talking about on the floor during debate. And so it's great that they're out there doing the work that they're doing.
We asked Chris if he thought similar automatic expungement procedures would be included as other states legalize cannabis in the future.
The recent strong interest in equity in the cannabis industry generally, I think, is going to ensure that expungement is going to be a common feature of legalization laws going forward. I think the expectation is going to be that we will be doing this on a regular basis in every jurisdiction that where it's possible. It's where the bar is set now, which is awesome, by the way.
Aaliyah Turan-Burrell of Code for America shares Lindsay's optimism for the future.
We have started this work. This work is possible. And it's exciting to think about where it ultimately will lead, given the momentum for criminal justice change in this country. And this idea that the millions of people who have had barriers up against them for so long will have a chance to really move on with their lives without additional barriers on top of that. So the idea and the scale of change is pretty exciting to think about.
I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. This edition of the Humboldt Chronicles will be posted soon at 941lounge.com, lostcoastoutpost.com, and at iTunes for listening and downloading. Thanks to our guest, Chris Lindsay from the Marijuana Policy Project and Aaliyah Turan-Burrell of Code for America. Also, thanks to Penny Commit of Verge for her assistance with tonight's show. Finally, a huge thank you to our sponsors, the Humboldt County Collective, Eco Groovy Deals, and Bear Extraction House. We'll be back with the Humboldt Chronicles at 6 p.m. on the third Wednesday of each month. So we'll see you next time, August 21st at 6 p.m.